Hello, strong, feisty women. Some of you may recognize my voice. I'm Celine Yeager, host of the Hit Play Not Pause podcast. Throughout my career as a professional health and fitness writer and now a podcaster, I hear countless questions from women who are trying to understand how their ever-changing hormones impact their sports performance. So we decided to serve up some answers in a brand new series called Hormonal that we will be releasing on the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast feed. Throughout this four-part series, reproductive endocrinologist Dr. Carla DiGirolamo and I will be tackling topics like periods, the pill, pregnancy, and conditions like PCOS, all from the perspective of sports performance. If you aren't already, follow the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast and stay tuned for our first episode releasing on April 15th. Also, have questions you want answered? Send us a voice note at speakpipe.com/hormonal and we'll get it answered on the show.
You're listening to If We Were Writing, a feisty triathlon-ish podcast. I'm Kelly O'Mara, and together with Sarah True, we head up a weekly group ride where we dish on all triathlon news and everything else-ish we want to talk about. We're joined regularly by Khadijah Diggs and Jocelyn Wong-Neal, and Laura Sedol does her Sid Talk segment updating you on everything you need to know from the weekend. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If We Were Writing is a production of Live Feisty Media. Join us on our group ride. Yeah.
All right, If We Were Writing crew, back in action. Sarah is mostly sort of revived, except not really.
I'm 80% there, which is good. I'm not hacking up my lungs at the moment, so we're good to go. I'll probably go to bed straight from here. But yeah, you know, 'tis the season for lots of viruses spreading among everyone.
Share the love.
I feel like it should be like a hashtag don't share the love.
Yeah.
Hashtag don't. Please don't.
Yeah. We're actually back wearing masks when for patient interaction at the hospital.
Oh.
So yeah. I definitely would do it. And it's like one of those things where like, I don't know if I'm like ever totally going to go back to not doing it in like hospitals and pharmacies and like trains and planes. You know what I mean? Like restaurant, like you know what I'm saying? Like the high risk situations.
Yeah, like, but when you get the mandate from the top down, where they're like, yeah, it's not an option for you all. Anybody who's like affiliated with us, gotta wear a mask. Like, yeah, it's that time of year.
They can't afford everybody like you dropping out all the time, getting sick all the time. No, they need you at your best, Sarah.
I mean, I am an untrained student, so not me, but everybody else. I'm pretty expendable.
if the trained people all get sick, you're going to have to step it up.
Right.
Yeah,
that's why they need masks, so that Sarah doesn't have to take over.
The last one standing.
We did have a couple people get sick at Endurance Exchange, or a couple people that I was with come out because, I mean, your odds were not great. And Khadijah, did you even end up coming? Because your run got canceled.
No, I was coming strictly for the run to support the run. And then it got canceled.
Bummer.
I know.
That was the only reason you were going to go.
Yeah. Aww. Zsa is a really good friend of mine. And, you know, whenever she has an event, I always go up there. And since she lets me park in her driveway. So.
I would say that's a sign of a really good friend.
Really,
yeah,
good
she is a good friend.
I was texting with Khadijah though, and I was like, we're gonna come, where is it? And then she's like, it got moved to 6 a.m and then I was like, ... we might come, and then it got moved again, and then it was like raining, and it was like, oh well.
Yeah,
so. I feel like I should tell people too, I told everyone to come to our live podcast, and that also got canceled because like one of the athletes got sick, one had a family member get sick, one had like a flight get canceled. It was just like a whole mess, and it was like, you know what,
You didn't want to be a one woman podcast. Right.
You didn't want like me and Sarah, old Sarah OG, whatever we're calling her, just like standing up there on a stage making things up. Yeah.
I mean,
that would have been fun. I think you wish that we were there though.
Right. It would have been better then.
But how would that be any different from vast majority of podcasts?
Well, yeah, fair. But like people paid to come to Endurance Exchange. So I think they expect more, you know?
I don't know. I feel like you and Sarah could make it worth their while. But oh well. Oh well.
I will tell you on that note, like the panel, or there was like a talk on like how to attract women or something, like barriers to women's participation. And I guess the person had like a really last minute, like super bad emergency, and like basically didn't tell anyone they were coming, like didn't make their flight, and like didn't tell anyone they were coming till like minutes before. And we were like, well, if you could have even given me 30 minutes, me and Sarah could have pulled that off in like,
oh, for sure.
No time. Yeah. So I should do an ad hoc women's participation panel. We could have brought Khadijah in out of her van.
You could have filmed it from the van.
Yes, exactly.
So let me just give me a minute. So that particular segment was called How to Attract Women?
No, I'm paraphrasing. Okay, I'm paraphrasing. Sure. No.
I'm just checking because...
No, it had some conferencey title like overcoming obstacles and barriers in female participation, and, okay. Right? Like it had some super long conferencey title, but I was summing
basically
up,
yeah. What it meant, how to attract more women.
Yeah, that's what
I mean. You might have got more hits with the other title, sure. But I was just checking.
No, we try to make, I feel like conferences, this is the same, like I work at the NPR station too sometimes, right? And you're like, I feel like sometimes people try to make their things sound as boring as possible. They're like, overcoming barriers and systemic obstacles to female participation trends as a demographic when encountering, right? Like, you're like, what?
It's because they're trying to sound like they're a serious, legitimate talk, not like a clickbait article.
Yeah, right. It's not a thesis statement. Yeah, get over yourself.
But it was how to attract women. That was the actual.
I feel like Feisty Media could do a good job of.
Right. If they'd given us, let us know like an hour earlier, we could have been like, we could have pulled it off.
Lost opportunity, endurance exchange.
I know. All right, I keep trying to like throw to a commercial and you guys keep interrupting me. So I keep being like, after this break, so now that we have Sarah back, she's going to share what she's looking forward to this week. Jocelyn's going to explain her controversy of the week. And we're all going to talk about how our New Year's resolutions and training, you know, week one is going after this break.
Iron Women is excited to announce a new partnership with Bicycle, the largest global marketplace for pre-owned bikes. With more than 20,000 pre-owned and refurbished road, gravel, mountain, and triathlon bikes available, Bicycle connects buyers and sellers on a global scale and makes the process of buying and selling bikes safe, easy, and convenient for riders. We all know there are plenty of marketplaces and classified sites out there, but what sets Bicycle apart is their guaranteed buyer protection, secure payments, simple shipping, and first-class customer service. Additionally, when you sell a bike, Bicycle provides a bike box directly to your door and coordinates pickup at a time that works best for your schedule. That kind of service has me swayed, and I'm cleaning up one of my old race bikes to sell on Bicycle right now. For a limited time, you can save up to $100 on your purchase at Bicycle by entering the code FEISTYTRY, all caps and one word, at checkout. That's code FEISTYTRY at Bicycle.com. BUYCYCLE.com.
All right, Alyssa, I'm like starting to swim more again. And I feel like you were swimming a lot last year with one water. And how did you keep your hair from getting so destroyed?
I was swimming so much last year. And I used TryHard, Kelly, and I still swear by it. They have extensively researched this problem and created a superior vegan, dermatologically tested proprietary blend. TryHard has shampoo, conditioner, body wash, and more stuff. Everything you're going to need for your pre and post swim necessities. I've also seen that top pros like Chelsea Sodaro and Lucy Charles Barkley also praise the effectiveness of TryHard. I think it's like definitely changed how good I feel just coming out of chlorine.
And we have a code right now too for anyone who wants to try, you know, try TryHard and stop suffering from dry, itchy skin, having their hair get all, you know, green, which happens to me because mine's like super blonde and get all beat up. You can try any of the TryHard products with the code 20feisty, that's 20feisty, for 20% off store-wide at tryhard.co. So that's 20feisty for 20% off at tryhard.co. I feel like, should we just start with Jocelyn's controversy of the week?
Yes.
Like, let her tackle it. Obviously, it's been a while.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Well, this is a callback to when we discussed the Malibu triathlon and how, what's his name? Something Epstein?
Yeah, I feel like that's like not that Epstein. Totally unrelated Epstein. Yeah.
But also, okay, also a sketchy Epstein. So remember, he sold the rights to Malibu Triathlon to Super League for like lots of money.
An undisclosed sum.
But we're thinking lots. Lots of money. Lots of money. And then he decided that he was going to start his own race called the Zuma Triathlon, also in Malibu. Mm-hmm. And didn't tell them there's like only one permit for one triathlon in Malibu. There's also one permit for one running event. He secured the Malibu permit. So he sold the rights to this race that, and then took the permit. And
so, like, I was talking to a race director at this conference, and like, permits are obvious. Like, when you sell a race, like, permits are, because permits almost never go beyond a year, right? So when someone buys a race, they want some kind of guarantee, typically, that, like, you know, the mayor is going to keep so you often, if it's a big race, they'll like meet with the mayor, right? Like, when someone buys a race, they'll like, they want to feel like, you know, there's some continuity, some guarantee. So it's like kind of crazy to me that Super League got backdoored on this. That feels like,
yeah, they didn't.
Someone didn't do their due diligence.
Due diligence, yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like this guy kind of took advantage of their naivete, and it's sketchy as hell to then be like, ha ha ha, I'm gonna get this permit and then just make another race, call it something different. But really, it's that race that I just
It's called like the Zuma Beach Triathlon in Malibu or something like that. It's like, yeah.
So, okay, going back, why is there only one permit?
Well, no, so Malibu just has restrictions, like the town right? Has restrictions on the number of events it permits in a year. Like lots of towns do, or lots of small towns, right?
Okay.
And it's just that Malibu is obviously a high profile location as opposed to like a regular small town that has like 20,000 people. And so they have a limited number of permits they give out. They had like city council meetings. You could have watched the whole city council meeting on like Monday or whatever it was. And they even said like they prefer a local operator. And like, and they really preferred that this guy was like, I mean, Super League also raised a bunch of money for charity. They also have some deal with like the Children's Hospital of LA, but they got sold. They got sold on it, you know.
So who?
And by sold, you mean scammed.
Whose side are we on in this?
I should feel bad for Super League, but I also think there's no way this guy isn't getting taken to court, right? Like, no way.
Okay, Jocelyn has feelings.
Definitely legal action.
It just seems sketchy as hell. It's like, yeah. I don't know.
That's,
I guess he's a
sketchy is too nice. That's just super shady. I mean, I can't say those words on the podcast.
You can't say
I know
words.
There's much worse words than what I'm saying that's coming out of my mouth.
Or brilliant. Right. I mean, make a lot of money for nothing. Double dipping.
Yeah. But I think I asked Super League about this like a couple weeks ago after we talked about it, Justin, and like they took over the Long Beach Triathlon that USAT had because USAT is getting out of the race directing business. So they were basically like, you know, that's was sort of, they were like, I mean, they said in like off the record and not so many words, whatever, that like that was sort of like, if this goes south, that will be our LA race, right? Then they'll still have like an LA race, Chicago, New York. There's definitely some more coming. I've like heard. So there's going to be like.
I bet they paid less money for Long Beach.
I don't even think they paid because USAT just wanted it to keep lasting. Mm-hmm. And USAT doesn't want to be the race.
Okay. So maybe Super League is the big winner here.
You're like, ah.
I like the Super League races. They're exciting.
Yeah. So that is so. That's really interesting. So, Kelly, your impression was that they were hedging that something might go wrong with Malibu?
not like before. Like this is that deal with USAT was like announced like 3 weeks ago. Or
it was
right?
after
like,
the permit dispute was already like in action.
Got it. I think it became their backup plan. But I also think that they want to work with USAT. Like I think Super League is working, like wants to work. You know what I mean? I think there's lots of conversations happening at World Triathlon and Super League level, kind of like behind the scenes, you know?
Okay, so. But here's a $1 million question. Which race will get the celebrities?
Wow, that's a good question. The Zuma Beach Foundation of Malibu.
Doesn't really roll off the tongue. No. When People Magazine's writing about whatever celeb who did a triathlon.
That's a good question. They were hiring, like a year or so ago, Malibu was hiring for a celebrity coordinator. They were hiring the job to go and like find the celebrities to do the triathlon.
Amazing. I always get such a kick out of that. You know what? Very random question. Kind of related. Who was the celebrity for Kona this year? Because you know how they always have like the token, like the Gordon Ramsay type, like
the NFL player.
Yeah.
Wasn't it like Gordon Ramsay's protege or something?
No, is he considered a celebrity? He was in Nice. Yeah, but to her point, I don't actually remember there being somebody in Kona.
Okay, they didn't handpick a woman.
I don't remember.
To be like,
They didn't make the documentary, thingy. Guys. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They broke it into 30-minute blocks, and I was able to pay attention.
Right. People did keep coming up to me and old Sarah at Endurance Exchange and be like, I saw you on the thing. I was just watching on the treadmill. And she kept being like, you got through it? And I was like, stop saying that. She's like, nobody watches things that long anymore.
In bite-sized pieces. Yeah, I think if it was like put into like little episodes, maybe I would have watched the whole thing. But I saw the first hour, walked away, and then I came back for the end.
It is in like 30 minutes. It's in episodes now. They're episodes on YouTube. So I think it makes more sense that way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But the other thing, you guys, okay, so I want your opinion. So the other thing that kept being talked about, obviously, at Endurance Exchange, is always kind of like what's coming, right? Like it's a lot of coaching education and like a lot, so there's a lot of like, here's this hot new training platform, this new whatever, right? You know what I'm saying? Like all the continuous lactate monitors are going to be big within the next 2 years, you know, all that. And so it's always like kind of that kind of thing. And there are all these trends and numbers and reports and charts about triathlon is back. Like that was the like numbers for 2023 are back to like pre-COVID levels. The problem, of course, is that pre-COVID was already like super down from the peak.
Okay. Peak,
mm-hmm. Right? Of like 2012, 2013, 2014, peak. So here's my, mm-hmm. like, do you feel like it's bad? I'm also like, I'm not sure, like, we're never going to go back to 2012, 2013. I don't even know that we should. I don't think it's going to happen. Like, I don't know.
So my big thing is, what's the average age? I know for Ironman, the average age keeps going up. And, you know, my big concern is, you know, to how do we make this a cool sport to mm-hmm. younger folks? Like, how sure. do we get people in their 20s involved yeah. in triathlon and wanting this to be a lifelong habit? Like,
stop I think talking about lactate monitors.
Well, that's
well, let's talk about the pricing. So, I did my first Ironman when I was 20 years old because I was a huge nerd.
Sure.
And it costs $325 for an Ironman sanctioned event. $325. Full Ironman. M dot everything. Now how much is it? Isn't it like $900?
Yeah. Some of the halves cost more than $300.
Yeah. I mean, last time I looked, like I just signed up. It was like $750 plus, you know, like whatever the active fee says, like $780. And yeah, half's like $350, $370. Mm-hmm.
Depending on the location,
I was like, in all, like I've looked at the economics of like sure, Ironman's making money and whatever. I'm not saying they're not, but I'm just saying it's a lot more expensive to put on a race now. Like,
sure,
it just is. Like, and so people, like, I listen to all the people complain about the prices of races, and then like they don't realize that like the permits cost, the police cost, overtime on police cost, like the staffing costs, like. And especially like an Ironman race, like you're not getting like a local race. Like sometimes you can get by with like the fireman will donate their time. Ironman, like they're not doing that. Like that's not happening, right? So it's like It's really expensive to put on races now.
It is really expensive, but that still is a very obvious barrier to entry for younger folks.
But that's just Ironman.
I mean,
there are other triathlons, and there are plenty of them that don't cost that much money. I don't know what the data tell us about the.
So one guy, Sarah, put up, like, he had got like all the numbers from USAT and from Athlinks, because he wanted to like look into this whole, like, everyone's obviously, we've all heard it's because like triathlon's getting older, younger people don't want to do triathlon, all that stuff. And so he like broke it down, and it was like basically like the share of people who are triathletes that are under like whatever you want to say, 30 has actually stayed fairly consistent.
Oh, good. Sense.
Yeah. Okay. So it's only 22 or 23% right now who are like under 35 or however we define, but it was only 22 or 23% 20 years ago. Like, it's always like, you see what I'm saying? Like, there's never been, does that make sense? Like, there's never been young people. Like, that's like, they never thought it was cool. Like, it was never cool. Like, I mean, I'm sure they did back in the 80s, but there was like 100 triathletes then. So like, whatever.
I would think that with the collegiate triathlon booming, that there would be more younger kids, or collegiate age at least.
Yeah. It's also like possible some of the college age kids like don't get fully captured because they do like set, like, you know what I mean? Like, they don't, it's not like they're doing like 70 points, right? They're not showing up at like all the races that we show up to. They have like their own races they do.
Yeah.
But you have to look at too, even if you're just doing Olympic distance and sprint distance, triathlon training is time consuming. And even if you're on an athletic scholarship, I don't know what the requirements are now, but I know the university I went to, even on an athletic scholarship, you had to keep a 2.7. And a lot of kids who are athletes, they're on like dual academic athletic scholarships. They kind of split it up. And if you're on a dual, you have to maintain a 3.0. So if I'm a swimmer or a runner or whatever, I'm going to do the one that's least time intensive. Yeah, I think that's, I mean, for when it comes to, you know, collegiate participation. And then just the cost. I mean, just, you were just talking about, I mean, lactate monitors, Garmin's, heart rate monitors, all this other kind of stuff. I mean, it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It definitely is. I know that made me think of something. The thing they did find is that, you know, this whole, like, what do younger people want?
Mm-hmm.
There's some sense, and I don't know how much we can back this up with data yet, but there's some sense that they want more like experiential, you know what I'm saying? Like, they want like the festival and the doing it with friends and the experience and all that.
Multi-sport.
I don't know. I mean, I'm like, still like, you can't just call it a festival and make like just saying the word festival doesn't make it a festival.
Is this like more like a Spartan?
Yeah, well, not like, because Spartan went away, because like, who wants to do that shit in COVID times, right? But like,
the 2024 version of Spartan,
right.
Or the color run.
Yeah,
right.
Or any one of those like kind of trendy things.
Right.
My son loves those Spartan races.
Yeah.
Oh, I love them too.
I mean, they're like, you know, shooting whatever confetti and stuff when they cross the finish line and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Where's the confetti?
There you go. We need more confetti. I love the Spartan race. But yeah, so that's the idea, is that like the kids being like 27-year-olds, but like, they want, you know, they want music and activities and
all for the gram. They need more grammable, like, right.
If you can't get like cool pictures, it's not worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. But I've said this before, I think multi-sport festivals are the way to go. People want the challenge of the 70.3s and the Ironmans, but just in general, I think for families and groups of friends to go out and camp or do whatever and do a bunch of races over the course of the weekend. And like you said, take a bunch of pictures and, you know, video each other. That's what they're looking for. The multi-sport festivals are a lot of fun. And I always see a huge age range of people. I see down, you know, kids 7 or 8 doing their first little thing, all the way up to, you know, 80-year-olds, you know, they race and then they videotape their grandkids.
Yeah. I was just thinking about I was following Haley Chura's the dopey challenge at Disney World.
That was
and, like 4 days.
And I followed it.
There was confetti.
I wanted to see her costumes and
I think she's probably like, what the fuck? This is getting me more media attention than like anything I've done.
Winning an Iron Man. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But that's fine, you know. But it was like fun. It was cute. It was like entertaining. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think it just like she was giving back in some ways too, where it's like she recognized that, you know, this friend has been supporting her, so she kind of like paid it back in the off season. And how many of us do that? Like, I use the off season to not do athletic things with friends.
Awesome. Be like Sarah.
Well, it's like I'll sit around and, you know, eat meal with you, but I'm not gonna go like fly to Florida and do a marathon for fun with you.
Like, under 3 hours at that.
Yeah, I think there's a piece of it where people are like, yeah, the outfits, it just seems like fun. It's just a very different way to celebrate the off season.
I feel like I totally didn't do that. I just like, she actually did it well, right? That was like, I totally will like go and do things with friends, like, and like do a slow for me, right? Like race.
Yeah.
But Haley actually like won 3 of them and then ran a 2:55. That's where I would be like, oh, you want me to run a marathon with you in a costume? Like, sure, let's do it like 40 minutes slower than I normally run this. Yeah. Like, so yeah, she kept it together. All right. After we're going to take an ad break, this is me throwing to commercial. And when we come back, Sarah is going to tell us what she's most looking forward to this year.
Chasing Epic is the essence of the Orca brand. It's about seeking moments in life that make us feel truly alive and connected to the beauty of the world around us. And let's be honest, with a lot of swim, bike, and run, we get to see a lot of beauty. Orca's been a longtime partner of Feisty, and we work with them year after year because we love their products and their commitment to creating amazing wetsuits made for women. I absolutely love my Orca wetsuit. Apex is number one, but there's a range of triathlon wetsuits. You can choose between flexibility, buoyancy, or a combination of both. Really, there's a wetsuit for every triathlete and for all of your epic adventures. As a Feisty listener, you can get 15% off with the code IRONWOMEN15 at orca.com. Get out there and chase some epic, friends.
Jocelyn, I know, you know, we're getting older and aging, and you've been using Aminocos Heal as part of your like post-workout recovery, right?
Yeah, it seems like after I became a mom and then turned 40, my recovering abilities really tanked. So as you remember, I then tore my meniscus, had to get surgery in my knee, and now I've had this lingering ligament injury in my foot. So I've been adding a scoop of the chocolate flavored Heal to like either a glass of chocolate milk or a recovery smoothie. And I love that it helps accelerate muscle repair and reduce inflammation so I can keep training and racing hard in my 40s.
Yeah. And so you use the Aminoco Heal chocolate. How do you like it? How's it taste?
It tastes pretty good. I mix it up with a bunch of stuff. So it's like, tastes like a chocolate shake.
And all Aminoco products are 100% science backed. It's, you know, Feisty's go-to essential amino acids. And you can get 30% off with the code WRITING, as in if we were writing, at aminoco.com/writing. You'll also get a free gift for new purchasers. That's aminoco, aminoco.com/writing, and use the code WRITING at checkout for 30% off and a free gift.
You had the whole break to think about it, Sarah, because you missed out last week.
I know. What are you looking for? Pressure's on. Okay. So funny that we finished talking about Haley. I think I want to do just a straight up marathon.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I've run a marathon off the bike, but I've never done just straight up marathon. So like that's kind of got me excited. Like mix it into like the swim bike run stuff, you know, at some point.
Did you like decide which one? Did you like?
No, I haven't gotten that far.
And are you going to dress up and have glitter?
No. Maybe I'll have like
we can bring you down to Atlanta and get you some eyelashes.
Ooh, yes. Is there an Atlanta marathon? There's got to be.
Probably, yeah. It's probably
yes,
like
there is. Publix.
Yeah.
Publix Atlanta Publix, Hot Human. Okay.
Well, no, it's in February.
Oh, it's in February. There you go.
That might be a little tight. Okay.
It's like next month.
I'll Google it and get the date for you.
Okay. All right. So if, maybe like March, April would be more realistic because I haven't done any long runs over like an hour 40 yet. So.
Sure. Yeah. This makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm putting that out to all the people.
All right. So that's like your personal goal. Cause we did talk about goals last week. What do you, I was totally actually asking like what you're looking forward to, like in triathlon and like other people, but wait,
I don't care about other people. I care about me.
I care about her life.
But you asked what I'm looking forward to.
Right.
And I'm looking forward to that. But we did talk about this before we took a Christmas break and New Year break. And I'm looking forward to the Olympics.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. You know? I'm looking forward to our reunion at Lake Placid. I know I mentioned that. So yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to triathlon wise.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you done, well, you know, if you have your personal goal of a marathon, obviously we've established you have not started marathon training, but has everyone started training for their various goals? Are we all like sort of?
Oh, I'm doing an FTP test on Friday.
Whoa. You're doing like real training.
Well, Sarah, so last week one of my goals is to like learn to train with power and raise my FTP by 50 watts without really knowing. So I measured it at like last summer I did a test. I wasn't like super in shape yet and it was like 200.
Yeah, so good.
I'm like, okay, let's see if I can hit 250. I've never really trained with power before. So I'm going to go for it.
I'm not like, you can do it, Jocelyn. I'm not being discouraging, but that's like a lot.
Is it though?
Yeah, it's like a lot. Yeah. Like increasing your FTP by 25% is like a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
I went up 5 watts and I felt like I had won.
Right.
Lotto.
Well, so 200 is my starting number. We'll see how I do on Friday.
Yeah, I was like 2% is usually considered like a big deal.
Oh.
I don't know. If it's higher than 200, then
there you go.
That's awesome. And if it's not, it's not.
It is what like, it is.
Yeah. I feel like you seem confident that it's higher and I feel confident for you.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's 50 watts higher. That's a
12 months though.
Yeah.
Have you been training or not training?
I've been like biking super easy. So this is like my benchmark test.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that the whole point of like this whole testing, right?
Definitely.
So don't like soft pedal 100 watts and then
back.
I had that happen one year. I totally had that happen where like my FTP, it's not that I sandbagged it. It's just that like, I don't think they understood that I look like I'm going to die well before I'm going to die. Right. And so then my FTP was way lower than it actually is in real life. And then I like all year was training off it and I like did not get any. This was like a long time ago. And it was like, well, that wasn't right. Like at all. Like, so don't do that.
Well, I've been classified as a sprinter because this is Wahoo has like their own 4-dimensional threshold testing. So it's like the 5-second power, the 1-minute power. And so my 5-second, I think I can do like 700 watts. So it's always saying like, you're a sprinter, which means I need to work on my longer distance threshold stuff.
Interesting.
So I think I'm just out of shape.
I just do better outside than inside. Sitting there for 20 minutes, I'm like, can I get a drink? Oh, I want to change the channel. What is this? Yeah. I don't like this video.
Outside or like inside, you also have the like heat, which increases your perception of like how hard you're going, and perception of how hard you're going totally screws up your like actual how hard you're going.
Okay.
That makes sense. So like, anyway, but one time you guys, I also don't think this is a good testing method. Way back in the day, I also had this like coach who I wasn't with for very long, who wanted to do an outdoor, like an outside FTP test per Khadija's point. But we were supposed to like ride on this road. That's like, and he was like, go out to this point, turn around, come back. And it was only going to be like 20 or 30 minutes. And he was like, but go at a pace that you think you could hold for an hour. And I was like, that's not how an FTP test works. Yeah. Like, yeah. I was like, that's pacing. That's not testing.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought that was weird. I was like, I've never heard that as like a testing technique before.
Yeah, no. I've always been told 5 minutes spin down, then 20 minutes as hard as you can.
Right. Because then you can like extrapolate or whatever. I like how we're all just like, no, yeah, that coach was wrong. Like, no. You guys, I also, so I'm in Boston and this is just random, but I went to this CrossFit class today just to like drop in because I like can't run every goddamn day. Right. And they were so worried about, like, they were like, I mean, have you been fit? Like, how, what is your physical fitness level? Like, it's okay if it's not a lot. Like, how much do you do? And I was like, I think I'll be okay. And they were like, well, I don't, they were like, and I was like, I really, like, I think I'll be, like, I'm not trying to be a bitch, but like, I think I'll be fine. Like,
how was it?
It was fine.
Yeah. Is it because the, do you not look, I'm doing air quotes, do you not look like a typical CrossFit athlete? Is that why they were worried?
This time of year, they probably get a lot of people dropping in who like have never done it before. So they're probably just like super, but I've never had that happen to that degree before. I was like, they were like really good. Like even as they were like explaining the workout and I like knew, and I was like nodding, like I understood. They kept being like coming over to me and being like, are you going to be okay? And I was like, I will probably not like, I will probably finish first. Like, I don't know how to tell you
this. You've done CrossFit a while now.
Well, I do it on and off. I'm like, we do it with old Sarah. Yeah. I'm like the only person in the world who dabbles in CrossFit. Yeah.
You didn't drink the Kool-Aid yet.
No, I just go like once a week for like so many months. And then I like decided to start training for running or triathlon again. And then I stopped going for like a year. Yeah.
She samples the Kool-Aid.
I sample. Yeah.
That sounds like I had to do a, I think it was like a heart rate stress test for a physical. And she's like, it's going to get tough. So when you want to stop walking, let me know. And she kept hitting the thing up fast. She's like, do you you must exercise on her. Yeah. You're going to have to. Yeah.
Like, more.
Just keep hitting the button. I'll tell you when I'm tired. If you don't want to be here a long time, you're going to have to go fast.
They're hard to do to a level that actually gets you. If you're like, yeah, if you like,
if you're pretty fit.
Yeah. Like, because the increases the incline and the speed. And so it's like a fucking, like I'm climbing a wall, but and you're like, well, this is impossible. Now this is like actually working something different.
It's working my butt. Right? Yeah, like, it's not my heart, it's my butt.
Yeah. My ankles are jacked up now because you can't.
So. But I have it on the East Coast for like a week now. And besides the fact that like, I didn't bring a bike, right? So like, and I get, I can't, like, I don't know. I get, I can't run everywhere. It's also, it's been cold and it snowed in Boston. And then it did that stupid thing where it snows and then it warms up enough that it melts and then it refreezes overnight. So then you're like running on ice. And I don't understand how to like, I understand how you guys do it. Like I did it. It was fine, but it's stupid. And I want to know how you stay like motivated.
The weather's wild. Yesterday we had bad storms and the power went out. So I'm really glad we didn't record yesterday. Because we had no power from like 5 p.m. until like 3 a.m. And we ordered pizza because I was about to cook dinner. And luckily the power didn't go out at the Domino's.
You know they have a backup generator because they're going to be the only ones going. Well, if I were a restaurant, I totally would.
Yeah. Like,
make sure
hospitals,
you can always...
Fire stations, Domino's. Yeah, these are like emergencies.
Yeah, yeah. That delivery driver got a double tip.
They had tornadoes here, which I was surprised because it's kind of cold here, but they had it warmed up just enough to spin off some tornadoes.
It's terrible. I'm like, this is stupid.
Oh, because you're not used to indoor training.
I don't do indoor. Oh, I mean, I do, like I have, and I like have historically and whatever, but I am not at a point in my life or career where I will inflict that on myself, right? Like I was at Endurance Exchange and somebody was like just trying to sell me on like some new indoor training, right? And I was like, oh, I just don't ride the trainer. And they were like, well, what do you do? And I was like, I bike outside when it's not
You're
raining.
Like, I live in Northern California. Yeah.
When it rains.
Gorgeous year round.
Well, no, like it pours rain, right? But then like, I just don't bike on those days. Like that's where I'm at in my like, life, right?
It's a
like,
swim day.
Yeah, like I've gotten hypothermia enough times. I just don't bike on those days. It's not worth it to me to like sit indoors. So yeah. So, but I did go on like a 10-mile snowy run around the Harvard Arboretum. I ran hill repeats in the snow, and I felt very Boston, guys.
So you got motivated.
Well, no, I did it. I'm not saying I didn't do it. I'm just saying, how do you guys like? But I'm also like, I'll have to do this for like a week, and then I'm going home. So
you get used to it. Like you have no choice, so you just suck it up and deal.
I don't know, because I have a small child, and in the winter I just turn winter into indoor training time, and in March I'm gonna start riding outside again. But even on the weekdays, I'm not riding outside, I'm riding inside. But that's
sure,
just
for
like,
work. Yeah, I did a lot for work, yeah. Like when I had to for work too. Yeah, for sure.
I prefer doing some things indoors though, like interval training. I always do that indoors. I hate running indoors. I don't have the patience to run indoors. I only do that if I absolutely have to.
Yeah, today we had kind of, I'm guessing what you had in Boston.
Yeah,
Kelly, where it just like sloppy, icy, and that's a treadmill day, because you know, running in like 37 degree like melty water, slushy, like where your feet are soaking wet and just icy underneath, just not worth it.
Yeah, it's like the cold is fine. I don't like the cold's fine. I'm used to that. That's fine. The wet, it's really the ice. Like, yes. I don't need to fucking like tear a fucking hamstring like 4 days into training.
Yeah.
You know, like, no.
No.
Yeah, I've slipped on ice and it felt like the cartoon where you slide on a banana peel, and I went like womp on my butt. And I was mostly okay other than a bruised butt, but could have been bad.
Yeah. I was like, well, we were in the Boulder ER, which happened more than once. Like, everyone in there has like a broken elbow or a broken wrist or a broken shoulder because they fell on the ice.
Yeah.
It was like literally every person who came in, and you were like, awesome. This is great.
Don't you guys have like shoes with the spiky things on them and stuff?
Yeah, but like,
yak tracks. I have yak tracks.
Yeah. They're good, not in like black ice. They're good for like kind of crusties.
Yeah. We're all like making gestures as if this is a video. We're like, yeah, you can't run on like the thing with the stuff. Yeah.
I've been in Atlanta too long. I didn't even know what they were called. The thingies with the spikies.
Thingies with the spikes to run on the stuff. Yeah, we're doing great. People are going to ask us to sponsor them any minute. All right, we do have a voicemail. That's what I was about to say. We have a voicemail from Carrie sent herself a voicemail to edit this about New Year's resolutions.
Hey, If We Were Writing crew, it is editor Carrie. And yes, I'm leaving you a voicemail, even though I could probably just sneak it into the episode. But I was a guest on last week's show in lieu of Sarah True. And we talked about resolutions and some of the New Year's resolutions we had. But I wanted to share what my husband's resolution is for the year, because I think it's actually great for all of us to think about. He has made a resolution that whenever he gets good customer service, whether it's at the car dealership or restaurant or anywhere, he is going to leave a positive Yelp or Google review for that business, which I think is awesome because it only takes like 3 minutes of your time. And not only does it make you feel good, but it actually helps the business and it makes them feel good about the work that they're doing. It's so simple. It's so simple, but it could be so effective. So I just wanted to share because I thought that was a really cool New Year's resolution that we can all employ.
So I think it's cute to like, I mean, I appreciate calling up, or not calling up, but like appreciating the people who give you good customer service. Mm-hmm. I will say, and this isn't like the people who do it's fault, but like the model has been created so that like they often can't help you. Like it's like design, like the customer service model is designed to like not help you. Does that make sense?
No. Please explain.
Okay, like modern companies, like large scale companies have decided that it makes no sense to have actual people that you can actually call to solve your problem. Like the cost is too high, right? It's much, much, much more efficient to like have that stupid robot that's always like, have you, like trying to like, right, to like try and respond to your question that literally just like takes a keyword and writes back some sentence that has nothing to do with your question, but it used one of the keywords in your question, right? And so you go in this like, you're like going in circles, right? But even when you eventually get an email, you email and you're like, hey, my iTunes, like, I can't get in or whatever it is. Like, I'm using Apple because I was like trying to fix something on an Apple podcast one time. And you get an email back like 3 days later and it doesn't answer your question. And then you email them back and then you get another email back like 3 days later. Right. So like modern customer service, the companies have largely decided that it's not worth actually solving people's problems. Because what the fuck is my choice with Apple Podcasts?
Like, I was Okay,
they have the nerve to call it the Zen desk. Yeah. No, this is not Zen-like. This is annoying.
Yeah. You're talking all about like IT sort of stuff. I was thinking about the refrigerator repairman that fixed my fridge over the summer for $300 when I was expecting we might have to replace this fridge, which is like $2,000 to $3,000. And I need to leave him a review because
yeah,
that
should.
Was amazing.
That's right. Yeah. No, I just meant large scale companies. If you can't fix your magazine subscription, you better just call the credit card company and like fraud that, because that magazine is like never going to pick up your phone. So,
yep.
But the point that what I'm saying is, of course, that person, if you finally get somebody, like they're not even empowered to solve your problem, right? Like it's like, so of course it's like terrible. So when somebody can actually solve your problem, it's like so nice.
See, that's, it's so interesting because I would never think of like leaving a review for, or giving somebody kudos at a very large corporation for helping me out.
Yeah.
But I would for like a local business. And now I'm rethinking like how I value people at big companies. And maybe I need to go out of my way to be like, hey, you know, that person did an awesome job helping me. Yeah. Okay.
Especially with companies now, they're trying to do more with less. They give people so many responsibilities, multiple responsibilities, and sometimes they collide with one another. And we don't realize sometimes it's difficult for them to just even be polite because they're so stressed in everything that they're trying to handle. Yeah.
And it's like, whatever. It's systemic. It's a problem, but yeah, it's terrible. So we're going to leave nice reviews for people who do a good job.
Like
what other non-triathlon resolutions do we have? I was like trying to think of any.
I don't do them.
You don't do resolutions. Okay, fine. So you don't have to call them resolutions. I'm going with like life goals, things that would be good to do in your life.
Oh, well, I put like save enough money in the budget for new windows this year.
Good.
That's a 2024 goal.
We need to get some things at Home Depot.
Good. Excellent. Excellent life goal.
Our fridge. Yeah.
Home improvement project.
Our fridge is kind of busted. I don't know. You seem achievable.
Yeah.
But expensive?
I think that's what I meant. Yeah.
Okay.
Life goals, like leaving nice reviews, buying a fridge. These are the same things. Yeah.
Are they?
No, you did not achieve the goal mission here at all.
So we're not talking about like go to bed earlier.
Well, I was actually, right? That's what I meant. Okay. Like things like where you're like, okay, like for instance, I was like, oh man, we talked about this a little last week. I was like, I drank way too much over the holidays and I really just like haven't been now. Like, I'm not doing Dry January. Like, to be clear, I had drinks to gossip at Endurance Exchange because that's the whole point to me is the gossip. But I'm like really toned it down, right? That was one of my goals, was like toning it down. Khadija's making a face like you can't gossip without drinks. No, Khadija, you got to get the drinks going so the person tells you the stuff.
The other person.
Obviously.
Get the drinks going for the other person, not you.
Yeah.
Can we rewind?
What was it? What's the joke, like the kid who just had the dental work? The joke about the kid who just had the dental work? Yeah, dad has a friend named Melissa, but she's just a friend. That's what I'm supposed to tell you.
Right. That's what they like share all the secrets that they're not supposed to know. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I was getting nervous because before you got on, Khadija, I was talking about my dental work today. So this made me very, I'm like, wait, what's going on here? I'm very confused. Kelly, I can't believe you said that you got a whole bunch of gossip and you haven't shared anything.
Well, it's all secret gossip. I don't tell people secrets.
So
and it's not gossip.
The recording stops, then we get the gossip.
Yeah. It's just
like obviously.
Information. It's not knowledge until you share it.
I don't think that's how that works.
Okay.
Tell us a little
right.
something.
So as you can see, one of my non-triathlon resolutions was not to gossip less, as we can tell.
So you're going to gossip more?
Obviously, yeah.
Yes.
I'm trying to think what other, but see, I was just saying, my point there was, yeah, like I was like, oh, I'm going to drink less. And I was like, I had to cut out caffeine too. It's been like not fun. So I've been like,
Oh.
Trying to handle that. See?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's in the like category of, like you were saying, sleep more, be healthier.
Well, you should be balanced out now. Less caffeine, less drinking. So you're even keel now.
I don't think that's how that works.
No more.
I don't think any of these things are how this works yet.
Not a direct relationship.
No. Okay.
Fine. Apparently none of you do resolutions or goals or life goals. It's fine.
Just the windows.
I need to eat more snacks in the morning.
Yes.
Is that a goal or a resolution?
Great goal. Yeah.
I should have done that this morning. I almost bonked on a swim, man.
Ah.
I have been getting up early though. I have not been doing any training after, like, now I'm done.
I haven't been doing any
training after 7 a.m. 7 p.m. I've been getting up in the morning.
Nice.
Wait, for a second there, Khadija, did you used to train after we got off this call at 9 p.m.?
I used to train at night all the time. I used to train at night. Yeah, sometimes I would finish my workouts. It'd be like 10 o'clock.
Oh, man.
But you're kind of like a night owl.
Yes, I am.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've trained at night too, but like, I mean, to a point, guys.
No, but it was consistent. It wasn't like I was all over the place. Right. That was just my consistent schedule. I did it because the kids were younger, it worked out better.
Right. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And like, I honestly don't like this whole thing where people are like, I have to wake up early, like it's somehow better. Like, I'm not like, that's not like, that's dumb, right? Like, there's no moral value in waking up early. Like, I am somebody who sleeps like 11 to 7 or 7:30, and that's fine. Like, it's fine. But yeah, people, so you do you, Khadija. I just was thrown that you were doing workouts at 10 p.m.
No, it's not like I start training at 7 a.m. and I'm training all the way to, no, that's not how it was working. But no, now that the my youngest two are older, I'm really not a morning person, but I am finding, especially my bike, my cycling workouts, my power is increased because I haven't gone through the stress of the day. So I'm trying to stick with the morning workouts, and it's going, other than, like you said, I forget, I just get up, hit the pool, and I'm like, I haven't even had a gel.
Yeah.
I always forget. So I need to make sure.
I just get up and go. Yeah. And it hits you, especially if you don't get food like right after. If you like had to like run to work or something, oof.
Yeah,
not good.
Yeah,
these are great goals,
fast, fast, fast. Oh God, I'm slowing down.
So my swim goal was like swim 2 to 3 times
right,
a week.
Right.
And
see, that's a good goal, Sarah. There's an example of a good goal.
And I also started taking my daughter to swim lessons, so I'm counting that as one of the 2 to 3 because I put on a swimsuit and I get in the pool.
Okay.
When the season progresses a little more, I won't count that, but right now it's January. It totally counts.
Totally counts.
Well,
I feel good about our goals, guys. I feel like we're really going to achieve a lot this year in our Placid, I don't know, reunion's not the right word, whatever. We're going to have to do like something at Placid though. We're going to have to do a like meetup. It's going to be amazing for all the Feisty fans.
That would be really fun.
Yeah.
This is what I'm looking forward to this year.
Well, that in your marathon, apparently.
Oh yeah. Well, you shamed me into like, you know, not making it about me.
Oh man.
It's totally about you, Sarah.
It's totally
all
about
you.
Yeah, it's all about you.
No.
And then since you weren't here last week, I had to make him a random question. So you have to come back now with a random question.
I would like a streaming movie or video recommendation. I had a different question, but right now I'm just going to pivot quickly.
Have you watched Shrinking on Apple TV?
I have.
It's pretty good.
Very good.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Any other?
I've been watching The Brother's Son on
Me too.
Netflix. What episode are you on?
3.
Okay. I have just watched 6 and it's only 8 episodes. So I'm like saving the last one for my FTP test on Friday.
Oh, man. I think you need, is it like dramatic? Cause you need something like exciting for an FTP test.
It's like a Taiwanese mafia comedy, and there's baking and churros.
Okay.
Watch the last thing you recommended. It was too real.
Beef? What'd you watch? Beef?
Yeah, I was like, this beef, wait, really happened. This is true. They just won a bunch of Golden Globes, too.
Time out, guys. Beef was too real for Khadija. Are you like going around getting in road rage fights with people?
Atlanta, have you? There's road rage all day, every day. You can get up at 2 a.m. The highway is packed and everybody's angry about something.
Yeah, but like that whole movie is about how she like follows him, or not movie, show, whatever. Like, follow Khadija, what are you doing?
It resonated a little too hard with right. Khadija. She has like, a sworn mortal enemy in Atlanta.
All right, so then what is your recommendation, Khadija?
So, don't laugh, but I think they're completely hilarious. The Married at First Sight series. Especially when the couples get married and then they start fighting. Oh my God. It is so funny.
Okay. I can see why Beef was not up your alley, but
also, oh, did you watch the Diana Nyad movie yet?
No.
Yes, I did.
That's on Netflix also. Very good.
Okay, I should watch that.
Yeah, that was really good.
He has a whole jellyfish outfit.
Oh yes. You need to like prevent it. I was picturing for a second dressed as the jellyfish, like swimming dressed as the jellyfish.
Oh, like the Disneyland outfits.
Right. I was like, maybe that like makes them think you're one of them.
Yeah. It took me over 6 hours to finish that lighthouse swim. I cannot imagine doing that 10 times.
Sure. What I've heard about the movie is that it doesn't gloss over her very intense personality. Right. And I respect that because I think we have too many movies that are like feel good, you know, rah-rah for athletes. And it's like, you know what? Diana Nyad's a complicated woman who like has kind of put some stress on the people around her.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I had to watch that one. That's on my list. Thank you. Okay. Well, if I get an opportunity to play hooky and, you know, or during indoor training, watch a movie, I'll get back to everybody on the recommendations. In the meantime, thank you for listening to another week of If We Were Writing, and we'll check in with you with your resolutions. None of you people can tell me to stop. My town, my crown. We know what it takes to be reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We know what it takes to be reaching the top.